Pull up a chair. I want to take you back to a Labor Day weekend when a quarter of a million people stood shoulder to shoulder in an Ohio field, necks craned to the sky, watching a little blue and gold racer carve circles so tight it looked like it might tear its own wings off. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tail Dragger, and this is The Hangar. Today we're talking about Cleveland, 1929, and the airplane that scared the daylights out of the United States military. Before I get rolling, let me tell you who's keeping the coffee hot this morning. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. Now, picture the scene. It's late August 1929. The country doesn't know it yet, but the stock market is about 6 weeks from falling off a cliff. For now, though, America is flush, optimistic, and absolutely drunk on the airplane. Lindbergh crossed the Atlantic just 2 years back, and the whole nation has gone aviation mad, and the biggest show on earth is the National Air Races at Cleveland. This wasn't a quiet little fly-in with pancakes and a windsock. This was a spectacle. Grandstands, pylon racing, parachute jumpers, wing walkers, the Navy and the Army both there in force, showing off their fighters. Hundreds of thousands of paying spectators streaming out to the airfield on the lakefront, kicking up dust, buying hot dogs, and waiting for the main event. And in 1929, the main event was brand new. They called it the Thompson Cup that year. It would become the Thompson Trophy, and it would go on to be the most famous closed-course pylon race in the world. Free for all, unlimited. You build the fastest thing you can, and you fly it around the pylons until somebody wins or somebody doesn't come home. But here's where it gets interesting. There was an airplane at Cleveland that year that nobody could quite figure out. It showed up shrouded in secrecy. The company kept it covered. They wouldn't talk about it. The press started calling it the mystery ship. Officially, it was the Travel Air Type R. Travel Air was a Wichita company, and one of the men behind it was a fellow named Walter Beach. You know that name. Beechcraft. He'd later build some of the finest airplanes ever to come out of Kansas, but in 1929, Beach was a manufacturer with a chip on his shoulder. See, the air races weren't just for glory, they were a sales floor. Every manufacturer in the country knew that whoever won at Cleveland sold airplanes that winter. And the trouble was, the military had the fast stuff. The Army and the Navy were showing up with sleek pursuit ships that could outrun anything a civilian company built. A commercial manufacturer just couldn't compete with airplanes designed and funded by Uncle Sam. Walter Beach decided to fix that. He had his engineers build something in secret, a low-wing monoplane, when nearly everybody was still flying biplanes. Clean, slippery, wire-braced wings mounted low on a tight little fuselage, painted that gorgeous Travel Air blue with gold trim. They tucked the pilot down behind a tiny windscreen and wrapped a cowling around a right engine-breathing fire. Everything on that airplane was about speed. They worked the drag off of it. They streamlined fittings that other builders left hanging in the wind. This was hot rod thinking years before anybody used the phrase, and they kept it under wraps right up until race day. Hence the mystery ship. Now the man they put in the cockpit. There were a couple of these airplanes and a couple of pilots flying them that meet, and one of the names attached to the mystery ship's legend that year is a fellow named Doug Davis. Doug Davis was a barnstormer turned airline man, a Georgia flyer with a feel for an airplane, and he climbed into that little blue racer for the free-for-all. The competition? Military pursuit ships, Curtis Hawks, Army and Navy Iron, flown by service pilots, airplanes that were supposed to represent the absolute cutting edge of American air power, and a civilian company from Wichita rolled out a secret airplane to take them all on. Let me set you down at the pylons. A closed-course pylon race is a brutal, beautiful thing. You're not flying from city to city. You're flying laps around tall poles stuck in the ground with checkered markers on top, screaming around them just a few hundred feet off the deck. You bank so hard the world goes vertical. The G-load presses you down into the seat and gray creeps in at the edges of your vision, and the whole time you're inches from another airplane doing the exact same thing. You can smell the castor oil and the hot exhaust. You can feel the airframe shuddering at full throttle. The engine is a continuous roar, no time to breathe, just pole after pole after pole, and the trick is to cut as close to that pylon as you dare without clipping it, because every foot of extra distance is a foot you're handing to the other guy. Davis took that mystery ship around the course and flat ran away from the military airplanes. A civilian racer, beating the Army, beating the Navy, the crowd came unglued. Here was proof, right there over the Cleveland lakefront, that a private company in Kansas could build something faster than the United States government. The mystery ship averaged nearly 200 miles an hour around those pylons. That was a stunning number in 1929. Now there's a famous wrinkle to that race. Davis, flying so hard and cutting so fine, actually cut inside one of the pylons, missed it on the proper side. Under the rules, that should have cost him, and in the spirit of the thing, the issue got sorted out and the result stood the way the crowd saw it, with that little blue monoplane having humiliated the fastest military airplanes in America in front of 250,000 witnesses. And here's why it mattered. The Travel Air Mystery Ship sent a shock straight through the War Department. If a civilian outfit could build a low-wing monoplane that outran the frontline pursuit ships, then the military's biplane fighters were already obsolete, and nobody in uniform had wanted to admit it. That little racer helped drag American military aviation, kicking and complaining, toward the low-wing, all the drag-cleaned-off monoplane fighters that would win the next war. The lineage from that slippery blue Travel Air runs straight to the airplanes that fought over Europe and the Pacific a decade later.
These air racers were rolling laboratories. Everything learned chasing a trophy around the pylons, the streamlining, the engine cowlings, the cantilever and braced low wings. All of it went straight back into the airplanes that would matter when it counted. And the mystery ship itself became a legend. A few were built. The great Jimmy Doolittle flew one. Pancho Barnes, the hell-raising aviatrix who'd later run the Happy Bottom Riding Club out in the high desert near where Jaeger broke the sound barrier, she flew a mystery ship to a women's speed record. These airplanes carried some of the biggest names in aviation in that brief glittering golden age. But it started at Cleveland in 1929 with an airplane kept under a tarp and a barnstormer who wasn't afraid to cut a pylon close. You think about the nerve of it, Walter Beach, betting his company's reputation on a secret airplane against the armed forces of the United States and winning. Back when aviges was cheap and airspace was free, a man could do a thing like that, build a dream in a Wichita workshop, paint it blue, and go prove the whole world wrong on a holiday weekend with the grandstands packed. That's the golden age of air racing for you. Fearless, a little reckless, and absolutely magnificent. My thanks to the National Air and Space Museum and the historians who've kept the story of the Cleveland air races and the Travel Air Type R alive all these years. If you want to see one of these mystery ships, there are a precious few left in museums and they'll stop you in your tracks. You can find us at radiohangar.com. This is Tail Dragger wishing you tailwinds and tight turns around your own pylons, whatever they may be. Keep your nose down and your speed up. I'll see you next time.